Amen. All right. Hey, how many guys grew up in a time when, I don't know, how do you put it? You did dumb things. John, you ever do dumb things? Okay, we all did dumb things growing up, okay? For instance, I don't know if you were like me. This actually happened to me, my big brother. Of course, once again, I'm the little brother. So big brother comes up with all these great ideas. And guess who gets to implement them? But we decided what we were going to do is we were going to build from scratch. We had this lumber pieces of wood laying around. We are going to reenact Evel Knievel. You ever do that? And we're going to make this ramp. And we did. We made this ramp, okay? And we had it with bricks, right, on the sidewalk. And here I go on my bike, right? And I'm flying. I'm going to be Evel Knievel, right? And so guess how you think it turned out? Not good. It was dumb, okay? But again, here's the point. It was dumb, and of course, the ramp broke, and I almost broke my neck. And but I realized after that, it was dumb. That was a dumb thing to do. And listen, I learned my lesson. Don't ever do an Evel Knievel homemade dumb brick wood nail ramp, okay, right? And I said all that to get to this. Now, believe it or not, folks, there's been a major culture switch today. And kids today, the problem is, They don't learn from their mistakes because they got so much cushion on, they never even get to that far, right? Like what this guy says. See if this sounds familiar to you.
I had the pleasure of growing up in America before the lawyers took it over and ruined it on us. And, yeah. In my day, if a kid fell off the monkey bars and chipped a bone in his arm, that was tragic, but it was funny to the rest of us. Certainly wasn't reasons to take the monkey bars off the playgrounds. We all did dumb things. That's how you learn not to do dumb things. C.S. Lewis said suffering was God's megaphone. That's right. You do dumb things, it hurts, and then you learn not to do it. My nephew's coming by. This poor kid's 11 years old. I look at him. Where's he going? My sister said rollerblading. I thought he was going to disarm a nuclear device. Poor kid looked like the Michelin man. Foam, rubber, plastic everywhere. She says, I don't want him to get hurt. I said, hurt? He could take a semi at 80 miles an hour in that outfit. Falling on concrete is supposed to hurt. See, that's your incentive to learn to stay upright on the rollerblades. They've ruined everything. Playgrounds. I took my granddaughter to a playground. What happened to playgrounds? The slide is 5 feet high, made out of plastic. She would go 4 inches and stop, 4 inches and stop, 4 inches and stop. That's not a slide, it's a scoot. Wee papa, wee papa, wee papa, wee papa. What did we have? We had a 6-story high solid steel structure. About mid-July, yeah. Mid-July would hit a temperature of about 285 degrees. You lose 2 layers of skin on the way down. Another layer when you hit the ground like a flat rock on a pond. Come back picking gravel out of your thighs. Yeah! Car seats? I'm not against car seats. I'm just telling you, I'm tired of strapping my granddaughter in like a NASCAR driver to drive 2 miles to get a Diet Coke from the mini mart. She's 54 pounds. I'm going to get a hernia hauling her in and out of the sink. What age can you take them out now? 5, 7, 18? Here's your high school diploma. You get to ride home like a big boy today. I mean, come on. Car seat, we didn't even have seat belts. I walked the back seat of my mother's car for 4 years. She'd be driving, I'd just be walking the back seat side to side. Sure, every now and then she'd hit the brakes, I'd fly up into the front. She'd toss me back like a trout. What are you doing up here? Get back there.
Oh. How many guys, you not only had no seat belts on, but you were in the front seat, and then if your mom had hit the brakes, you'd do the arm bar. Remember that? Okay, and hey, we lived, we survived, okay? But as you can see, kids today, man, they're not allowed to learn from their dumb mistakes, okay? No wonder things are getting messed up, right? They don't get to learn that. But believe it or not, folks, believe it or not, there is one disaster that is coming to our planet that you don't want to make a dumb mistake, and you certainly don't want to learn the hard way. Oh, well, by the way, this one you better have a lot of protection from, the ultimate protection, because you don't want to be there. And that protection, of course, is to get saved right now through Jesus Christ. And what we're talking about is the 7-year tribulation. Okay, you'll wish it was just a scooty slide or something like that, but it's not. You're going to slide into 7 years of God's wrath nonstop. You don't want to be there. Make sure you're saved today. Jesus said it's going to be a time of greater horror than anything this world has ever seen or will ever see again. That unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race will be destroyed. You don't want to be there. Okay, but praise God. God's not just a God of wrath. He's what? He's a God of love as well. He wants people to be saved, right? And he's made all the provision through Jesus Christ, but you got to receive it, right? Okay, and so that's why he gives us signs that the seven-year tribulation is getting close, so that people can be responsible. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, just what? Finish strong. Don't get distracted. Don't get your mind on things of this earth. That'll drag you down. Hello, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Get your mind on things above. Jesus Christ is coming back to get his bride, but we need to finish strong and tell as many people as we can with what time we have left. Amen? He's going to find you doing something. Wouldn't it be great if he found you leading that lost soul to Jesus Christ, okay? Because it's going to happen, okay? So we've been taking a look scripturally at some of those signs that God gives us, okay? In our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. The first sign, of course, was our 20-week study, the Jewish people and the Antichrist. Then we saw a 16-week study on modern technology. Then speaking of technology, the last 16 times, we've been seeing the AI invasion. And this is all based off of a prophecy, the starting point, 2,600 years ago in the book of Daniel, where he said clearly, how do you know you're living the last days? There's going to be an increase, an explosion of knowledge. And he says that's going to lead to the end of times. Not a good scenario. Even the secularists are saying the same thing. They don't call it end of times. They call it singularity, but it's the same thing. So we begin to see, well, how did this happen? And even though the secularists and even God's been warning us for 2,600 years, don't do this, okay, and develop this increased explosion of knowledge to this artificial intelligence, why are people still doing it? Well, we saw because there's a race, a global race to create AI, the biggest, baddest, so that biggest, baddest AI can control all the other AIs that are being developed in this race. Then we took a look at the definition, the types, the history, the big data, the makers of AI. And then, just like God warned, even the secularists are warning, the last 13 times is the future of AI. And the future is not looking good. When God says it's going to be the end of times, guess what? That's pretty blunt. It's going to be the end of times. When the seculars say it's going to be a sign when the AI is going to be combined with robots and machines, computers, and it's going to take over the planet and end humanity, guess what? That's what it's going to lead to. And that's what we've been taking a look at. AI is the new electricity. It's going behind the scenes and it's running everything across the globe and we don't even realize it. Business, finance, convenience, agriculture, communication, education, and last time, medical. Medical is a huge thing that AI is taking over. And just in time, I believe, for the seven-year tribulation and the leverage that the Antichrist will need and I believe use, okay, to basically force people to do whatever he wants them to do. And we saw he's doing that right now. AI is taking over the medical industry by replacing doctors, whether it's just AI apps or chatbots or even robots themselves. Okay. Then we saw AI is even replacing the other thing. The doctors don't just come in and diagnose you and say, hey, take this pill, right? They what? Sometimes you need surgery. AI is even taking that over. Whether it be the assisted surgeries or the robot surgeries, you don't need humans anymore, okay? And they're removing that element, okay? And so I believe, as we saw last time, it'll lead to this kind of leverage in the seven-year tribulation by the Antichrist when God's judgments start hitting the planet. He could go and say, hey, you want those burns treated from that global fire? The trumpet judgments we saw last time that's going to burn a third of the earth? In the seven-year tribulation, you want those broken bones set from that giant tsunami that destroyed a third of the ships around the planet? You want your body to be healed from all that poisonous water you drank that got polluted? Hey, no problem. Just bow a knee. Worship the Antichrist. Take the mark. You'll be taken care of. Oh, if you don't, you're going to die. I'm telling you, it's a huge leverage, but we still got several weeks to go just on this medical aspect, okay? And believe it or not, folks, what we're going to see is I'm convinced that this is going to be a huge leverage point, not just during the trumpet judgments, as we saw last time if you're here, but even in the first half when you're dealing with these sealed judgments at the very beginning of the seven-year tribulation. But don't take my word for it. As always, let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Revelation 6. Let's take a look at those sealed judgments. This is the rise of the Antichrist, the first seal. Okay, and then moving forward, you tell me if people are going to need some medical care during this time. Okay, but Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 through 14, and let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word, warned to us was going to come to the planet nearly 2,000 years ago for our benefit. Okay, you don't want to be here, but here's how it all begins. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, I watched as the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ right there, right out of the gates, right at the very beginning. Who's responsible for these judgments, this wrath being poured out? It is God. It's not Satan. It's not man, as other people would say. This is the wrath of God. Jesus Christ has rescued us from God's wrath. He has not appointed us unto his wrath. He has saved us and rescued us from that. Romans chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay, we are not in this time frame. Okay, because this is God's wrath. This is coming from the throne of God. The Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, what? Come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow. He was given a crown, and he rode out to conquer, and he was bent on conquest. It starts with the false peace. The Antichrist begins to take over the planet. And that's the first thing. Then he shows his true colors very quickly. That false peace, peace and security, peace and safety. Is that the phrase that the world is crying out? Yeah, Paul also says when people start crying out for that phrase, boom, sudden destruction will come upon them. And that's what you see next with the next seal, right? He rises on this false peace, and here comes war. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. And then another horse came out, a fiery red one. And the rider was given power to take peace from the earth and make men slay each other, literally butcher. And to him was given a large sword. Well, the Lamb opens up the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and wine. Major famine going on. Then the Lamb opens up the fourth seal. Verse 7, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, what? Come. And I looked, and there was a pale horse, and its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close. In fact, the picture in the Greek there is very macabre. It's basically as fast as death is going and people are dying like flies, Hades is there scooping them up and chucking them into hell. Very graphic. But Hades is right there. Okay, death and Hades falling close by. And how'd they die? By sword, by famine, by plague, and by what? The wild beasts of the earth. Then when he opened up the fifth seal, and I saw the under the altar the souls of those who've been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. These are the people who made the biggest mistake of their lives that could have gotten saved today and avoided the whole thing. These are the people who are left behind. Praise God, they turned to God. But guess what? Now you're going to be slaughtered for it. The Antichrist is coming after you. These are the tribulation saints. It's not the church. So let's continue on. He says there, that's what's going to happen. And the word of God they maintained, they called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? And to each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. Then I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a what? A great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. Stars in the sky fell to the earth, i.e. asteroids. Late figs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. And listen, the sky receded like a scroll rolling up. And listen, how many? Every mountain and island was removed from its place. You may be seated if you can. Folks, this is just getting started in the seven-year tribulation, right? This is in the first half here is what we're going to see here. And you guys look pretty sharp this morning. Okay, but how many guys would say that after just those events, right? We haven't even gotten to the trumpets we saw last week and then towards the end with the bowl judgment. But just with these, there's probably going to be some people who need some medical care. Couple? Yeah, I think you guys can do that. Okay. I think it's a pretty obvious point. So, I mean, what do you got going on here? You got a global war. You got a global famine. You got a global plague. You got wild beasts shredding people apart, chewing on them, eating them alive, and all kinds of stuff. Not to mention the global slaughter to anybody who turns to God during that time. You got a global earthquake that was so big, not just one, not just two, not just in Japan, not just here in the U.S. and California or around the world or in Turkey or whatever. The whole planet, every single mountain, every single island was removed from it. It's just shaking. Ah! Yeah, you're going to have some serious medical care. In fact, you do the numbers there. It says 1/4 of the earth is going to die a certain way. The statistics, again, by that, if that were to happen today, it's about 2 billion, not million, 2 billion people are going to die. But there's going to be a lot of people who are still alive. But guess what they're going to need? Medical care, especially after all that. Hello. So again, here's my premise. I'd say whoever controls the medical community, in fact, if there was some way you can control it across the whole planet and have your finger on that button, hoo-hoo-wee, you got some serious leverage over people during this time, don't you? And folks, I'm telling you, that system is being built on a global basis right now with the help of AI on a scale that we can't even begin to dream. Not just replacing doctors, not just replacing surgeries. Listen, the third way AI is controlling the global medical system is AI is now predicting diseases. Okay? And this is the next layer that's coming, okay? And again, as we saw in our text there, what's going to be a huge thing on the planet this time? Pestilence. What's a pestilence? That's a disease, okay? And dare I say, it's also going to be as a result of the war, the global war that breaks out. By the way, the church is gone. The restraining influence is gone. And guess what a lot of militaries around the world have in their weaponry? Not just bombs, but biological warfare. So there's no restraint now. They're going to pull out everything they got. So I think this is going to be the most disease-ridden time in the history of mankind ever. From the effects of this global war, but also from, I believe, the biological warfare as well. So obviously there's going to have a huge need. I mean, literally overnight of people needing to be diagnosed. What's that disease? What do you got? You know, what is it? How can I be treated, right? On a massive scale. In fact, it's a global context here. So how's that ever going to happen, right? I mean, how are you going to micromanage that? There's not enough humans out there. There's not enough, as we saw last time, there's not enough doctors to diagnose. How are people going to get their diseases predicted and treated and diagnosed and all that? Well, guess who has arrived on the scene? Who could do it all? Just like that. Much quicker, much better, much faster on a global scale. It rhymes with AI. In fact, they're saying, man, AI, again, they won't just tell you what disease you got. Listen, they're saying it's so far advanced that it will tell you what you got before you even get it. Now, as crazy as that sounds, we'll get to this in a little bit. What if it said you had something or were going to get something, but you really weren't? And that was an excuse to take you out. Could that happen? Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in just a second. But listen, these are all headlines from around the world. Of what the AI is the panacea, man. It's going to predict every kind of disease you can think of, tell you what you got, and all that kind of stuff. And you don't need humans. Right now, a Chinese AI system can predict, they say, diseases 15 years in advance. Well, I hope it doesn't make a mistake, right? Another AI can detect Alzheimer's, they say, in the brain 6 years before diagnosis, right? Google's DeepMind AI predicts kidney disease 2 days before it occurs. Right? We're going to have to go through that. Another AI can spot Parkinson's disease in 3 minutes. Right? Quick diagnosis there. Another AI can diagnose pneumonia better than an individual computer or doctor. Again, these are just headlines from around the world. AI can predict epilepsy outcomes. AI can create inexpensive heart disease detector. AI can catch irregular heartbeats. Europe launches a heart attack detecting AI for emergency calls. AI will give the person the instructions how to administer CPR. It's already happening. Watch this.
911, what is your emergency?
I need help. I need an ambulance. Hey, Dad, what happened? Dad?
Can you please verify your name and address and tell me what happened?
Yes, I'm Annie Robinson. We're at 1450 Bay Street, San Francisco. My dad was installing kitchen cabinets, and I think he knocked his head or something. I just heard a bump, and then he fell. I can't get him up, and he's not being responsive. Dad, are you okay?
All right. Give me one moment. Okay, an ambulance has just been dispatched and it's on its way to you right now. Okay. They'll arrive in 4 minutes.
Okay.
And while we wait, can you tell me if your dad is conscious?
Yes, I think so. Actually, no, I'm not sure. I can't tell. His eyes are open, but his face looks all weird. I guess he's conscious. I don't know.
Okay, hold on. All right, we need to make sure that aside from hitting his head, there's nothing else wrong with your dad. Does he seem to be breathing properly?
No, actually, I don't think he's breathing right, but maybe he's just disoriented. I don't know. Oh, I thought he just fell and hit his head. Is he having a heart attack? Then what do I do?
It's okay, you can do this. Listen to me and stay calm. Can you make sure that he is lying flat on the ground and that he does not have any vomit or food in his mouth?
Okay, yes. Hold on. I'm just going to put you on speaker. Hold on one sec, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready. No, there's nothing in his mouth.
Great. Now place your one hand on his forehead and your other hand under his neck. Tilt his head back and put your ear next to his mouth. Can you feel or hear any breathing?
No, No, I don't think he's breathing.
Okay, once again, stay calm. Stay with me.
Notice AI is listening to the conversation in real time, and it's the one dishing out the instructions. Now, that's convenient, but here's, to me, the concern. How many of you guys remember back in the day, if you ever were a cashier, you actually had to do the math in your head? Remember those days? Talking about going back in time, the slide six stories tall? Okay. And then, of course, today, what do we say? Kids today don't even need to know what? Math, because it automatically does it. All you do is just push the button, which means you're not learning the math. My concern would be you get so dependent on AI spoon-feeding this information out to you in these times of crises, these people don't know how to do it themselves. So could you use that as leverage? You won't get those instructions unless you do something. That's the danger, okay? They say AI chatbot can also detect a heart attack. AI is now used to detect early stage heart disease. AI outperformed cardiologists in detection of heart murmurs. AI can predict how cancers, not just heart issues, but now cancer, will evolve and spread. AI predicts cancer patient symptoms. AI is better at dermatologists diagnosing skin cancer. AI predicts thyroid cancer risk. Again, these are just headlines from around the world. Not coming, already being put into play. AI can tell how aggressive ovarian cancer tumors is. AI can detect early signs of cervical cancer. AI outperforms clinicians and pap smears in detecting cervical cancer. AI can determine lung cancer type. AI improves prostate cancer detection. AI identifies previously unknown features associated with cancer reoccurrence, you know, that humans don't catch. Google AI can spot advanced breast cancer more efficiently than humans. AI could save the lives, they're saying, of 22,000 cancer patients every year if you just let it take over the system. It could beat humans every time. AI cancer screening technology can see, quote, beyond our perception. It can catch things that humans can't. So why wouldn't you make the switch? And now they're saying, guess what? AI is going to be the one who's going to cure cancer for us. AI, they say, again, can spot signs of Alzheimer's before your family even does. And a new AI system can detect dementia as seen here. Watch this.
But one startup company is trying to change the way medical professionals screen for the disease using one's voice and artificial intelligence.
Bottles, and it obviously is a garbage. And on the floor,
it may not look or sound like it, but Joan Deason is taking a test. A test that would detect if she has dementia.
And there's a lady there.
By analyzing speech, they can identify cognitive impairment associated with dementia.
As many words starting with the letter A as you can think of.
And so we're able to take those verbal responses and then score them looking at about 500 different variables.
Assistance.
Tell me everything you see in this picture after the beep.
He looks like he's yelling back at her, which I guess...
So we look at things from the content of her speech, what words you're using, your syntax, your grammar, substitutions that you might be making. So maybe instead of saying someone's name, you say a pronoun instead. He, she, that could indicate they have word find difficulties.
People think of dementia as being memory loss solely, but there are other things that go along with it. Loss of the ability to plan and organize and sequence, which is called executive function, and things like banking, grocery shopping, laundry, cooking.
Using artificial intelligence to monitor speech patterns of patients, the program looks at factors like how quickly one talks, how long they pause for, and even fluctuations in the vibration of voices, a consideration a human examiner would miss.
But AI won't. And then how far are you going to take this? You know, of course, you got a tablet, you got the AI, you got to go through this test, but it just pays attention to your voice, your verbiage. And do they have any data records on our voices? Multitudes, millions of hours, whether it be on the phone or like Alexa, Siri, you name it. What if they just decide to say, Bob, you're getting Alzheimer's by our data detection, and you're going to cost the system way too much money. I'm telling you, folks, it's all going to wrap together. We'll see that eventually. Let's continue to go. AI improves the diagnosis of lung disease. Google's DeepMind AI predicts kidney injury up to 48 hours before it ever even happens. AI predicts allergies and allergy patterns. AI can spot the pain from a disease doctors still think is fake. Now, how many of you guys, okay, are out there saying, I told you I was sick. I knew I was... and you're tired of it, get it wrong, whatever. Well, AI won't miss. AI will be right there with you. AI is, quote, good as experts at detecting eye problems. AI cameras can detect blindness-causing diseases. AI improves glaucoma detection. AI app can detect eye diseases. Okay, artificial intelligence is helping prevent blindness itself. AI improves chest ray interpretation. Google's AI chest x-rays at human-level accuracy. And now AI can actually outperform humans with x-ray interpretation. Watch this.
This is how a radiologist diagnoses pneumonia.
84-year-old female, shortness of breath period, frontal and lateral views of the chest period.
This is an algorithm called ChexNet that's trained to do the exact same task. And this is how it performed against six doctors analyzing 50 chest x-rays for pneumonia in a recent test at Stanford. ChexNet is one of many projects exploring how artificial intelligence can take over tasks normally done by doctors. And it has some radiologists worried that AI could one day replace them. That's because algorithms are getting really good at interpreting images and diagnosing disease, sometimes with greater accuracy than humans.
We'll take a picture of this x-ray. The model will then run, and within a few seconds, it's outputted all these diseases, and they're sorted by the order of most likely to least likely.
What happens when the AI misses an important diagnosis?
It's something that comes up all the time. No matter what happens, if we are saying that we're going to use these algorithms clinically, there will ultimately be a time where an algorithm will make a mistake.
What do you say? It's going to happen. They're going to make a mistake. Or you get so dependent on this system, you don't need humans anymore. Which, by the way, how many guys would say that for those who are radiologists, they have a negative future in store for them? Negative x-ray, get it? Come on. Listen, you make this funny during the week, folks. I mean, come on. There ain't no book of AI jokes out there. I looked, trust me. No, but no, it's not good. But guess what? You become on that, and then do you need that diagnosed? Do you need that x-ray? Okay, we gave you the x-ray, but you ain't getting no results until you leverage, folks. Or, again, oh, looks like the x-ray came back. You got blah, blah, blah. It's not even worth operating on you. I'm telling you, you get dependent. You remove the human element, and you're in big trouble. And this is happening, folks, all across the globe. AI is improving medical imaging for patients with brain ailments. AI can detect, classify acute brain bleeds. AI improves brain scan analysis. AI can spot brain hemorrhages as accurately now as humans. AI can screen for acute neurological illnesses. AI can locate abnormalities in a head CT scan. Now, that's kind of weird, because that reminds me of the weird brain scan conversation Joe Biden had with the now Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, at his hearing 15 years ago. Remember that one? Watch this.
And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that.
What? You're going to be putting microscopic tags into people? And then you're going to scan their heads, and based on that scan, a report will spit out, you're a violent person, you need to be hauled away? Why do you not want Obamacare to go away? Why do you want to upgrade it to Bidencare? Why are you so concerned about Trump getting rid of Obamacare, especially now with another person on the Supreme Court? Maybe somebody was messing up your plans. I'm telling you, folks, it gets worse as you go. AI only needs 1.2 seconds to screen now CT scans. AI is now improving colonoscopies. AI reduces the need for even testing with colonoscopy or a polyp surgery. AI can better diagnose your bad back problems or need for surgery. AI can even now diagnose epilepsy. AI can predict which of subscribers will become addicted to opioids. Now, that's another leverage. We'll get to that next time. Drugs. Some people need drugs for after surgery or during surgery or for being treated. What if AI says, nope, you're going to become addicted to that. You're not going to get medication. What do you do? You're held hostage to this system. AI could detect the presence of viruses. I mean, maybe they're going to use AI for COVID and all that stuff anywhere. And then AI can speed up influenza detection. AI can better predict and estimate flu activity. AI can provide better flu surveillance. AI can detect moving parasites in bodily fluids for earlier diagnosis. AI can diagnose sepsis more reliable than physicians. Listen, AI improves risk fracture detection. Chinese researchers use AI to explore diabetes classification. AI can identify postpartum bleeding early. AI can diagnose rare disorders just using the photo of a face. Do they got any of our faces anywhere in a big, giant global database? All of a sudden, you get this report back from the global medical community. You've got this. We're coming to get you to take you. It's all tied together. And listen to this. AI can smell illnesses in human breath. What? I've told you folks, I don't know how many times. You better listen to me now. You better put the chicken down. Put the chicken nugget down, John. Because you know they're going to come back. You got cancer. You got the, you know it's not going to be a good diagnosis. Put the chicken down, right? But anyway, seriously, this is why they're saying AI is going to totally revolutionize disease detection on the whole planet. Watch this.
Hospitals are producing so much data that it is extraordinarily difficult to provide the analytics of it so that we can actually benefit patients going forward.
We're collecting a lot more data on these patients, but we're only scratching the surface of how that can be used in the sense of decreasing critical illness.
The way to do that is the use of data that exists in thousands and thousands of patients to predict who's at risk and to intervene to prevent it from happening.
We are using machine learning and artificial intelligence to build a system that's always watching. We call it PALM, Patient-Centered Analytic Learning Machine. Our vision is to present PALM as the nervous system of this institution. So what we have designed PALM to do is that it collects different kinds of information.
Someone's heart rate, their blood pressure, their oxygen saturation, changes in their physiologic vital signs on a second-by-second or minute-by-minute basis has implications for where they are going.
PALM's job is to calculate the risk for the patients to have either respiratory failure or whether or not this patient is at risk of dying.
And so artificial intelligence allows us to take information from tens of thousands of patients in order to predict what's going to happen to this particular patient and to prevent it from happening.
Prevent it from happening? Or make it happen? Or say it's going to happen? But it's really not. You know, with all these COVID tests that are going out, we all know that every single one's totally accurate. There's never such thing as a false thing. Saving lives or controlling lives with AI? Did you notice that it's all tied together? And then this machine will be the one predicting even what you got. And can you imagine if this whole system was built on a global basis, and it is, by the way, and it could be put in the hands of one guy, what he could do with this? He could use that as not just leverage, he could use it to take people out. And nobody would know, right? Think about it. There's no human there to feel guilty about doing something like that. It's a machine. In fact, again, as we've seen before in this text, I think this is part of how he's going to make, force, and order people to do what he wants to do. Right? Revelation 13, 12, 14, and 15. He, the false prophet, working in conjunction with the beast, the Antichrist, he exercised all authority of the first beast on his behalf, and he what? Made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth, and he what? He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and what? Cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. How is this guy going to do this? It's a global basis. How is he going to dictate and literally force people to do whatever in the world he wants them to do? He's going to cause them to do what he says to do, certainly in the context, worship the Antichrist. And if you don't, they're going to kill you on the spot. How can he do that? I think we're seeing now with this medical thing, another way he could pull it off. Think about it, folks. You store all this together, and you get one of the many ways he's going to do this. You need that disease or health problem diagnosed so it can be treated, you know, from all these disasters in the 7-year tribulation. No problem. Just bow a knee. What's that? You're scared from all the horrors going on in the world? And by the way, Luke says people will literally be dying of heart attacks. Remember that passage? But you think you're having a heart attack because of all these things that are going on the planet? You just and you need to have that treated? Piece of cake. You just worship the Antichrist, and we'll send the AI instructions right away. What's that? You think you might have caught a pestilence with all these diseases from the wars and the biological weapons and after effects of these wars? Hey, no problem. Just take the chip in this new palm system. Isn't that an interesting name that they're building with AI? And we'll take care of it. Oh, if you refuse, you ain't getting no treatment. Or if you refuse, you're going to come down with something that's just incurable. Sorry. All of it completely out of the realm of possibility. Or could I dare say, I'm sorry, you didn't worship that. The latest brain scan determined that you were a person of high criminality or violent behavior. And we need to haul you away. What's that? You think you're going to run? No, we're going to implant a microscopic tag in you to track your every move. I'm not making that up. That's actual discussion from somebody who wanted to be the president of the United States with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. What do you got planned that we don't know? And why are you so hung? Who was the swing vote on making sure Obamacare went through? Roberts. Learn your history, folks. Nothing's by chance of what's going on. Okay? Now, if you think that AI won't ever make errors, let me quote. They're already saying that. You heard it on the video. They're saying everything looks fine with AI in medicine except for one thing. Yes, it can save time and money and serve patients more efficiently, but the problem is, what if AI software will give the wrong diagnosis and so on? Who will, quote, be responsible for the false results? You're right. And could that be done on purpose if somebody didn't do what you wanted them to do? Being built on a global basis. But that's just the first half of that system. The fourth way is AI is also replacing the administration. Now, this is important, right? Because you could, let's say somehow you could find a human doctor left on the planet. Let's say that somehow humans were interpreting some of the treatment that you got. Right? Including the x-rays or whatever, or determining that, oh man, you got this disease that was going on in this global war. Let's, maybe you could find some backwoods guy that did that, right? Okay. But if you needed surgery or you needed drugs or something like that, who do you got to go through? You got to go through the gatekeeper. We know this today. Even if you do get diagnosed with a disease or you got a, like Pastor Tom, been waiting for a long time for a hip, right? He don't just walk up to the counter. Yep. I'm here for hip surgery. What do you got to do? You got to go through the what? The administration. You could be diagnosed, it could even be from a human, but you ain't going nowhere, nothing's going to be done to you until the gatekeeper says it's approved. And folks, I'm telling you, AI is going to become that new gatekeeper. And the first step in allowing AI to be able to pull that off, right? Because right now it's humans, okay? Humans look at records that are printed out and things of that nature. Humans look at the data. Well, if you could make all the data electronic, then a machine could do it all, right? That's already being done. All medical records being turned into electronic medical records so somebody can take control. Oh, and by the way, every drug, every piece of medical equipment, everything, including the people, have a barcode that ties it all together. Watch this.
Whether it's a hospital emergency or a routine doctor's visit, all people, regardless of age, will require medical care at some point in their lives. The ability to have safe medical care is a crucial issue today for patients and healthcare providers alike.
There are problems with patient safety, and there are things that we could be doing today to make the care that's delivered safer.
Impacting patient safety includes searching for a way to manage all of the information necessary for providers to deliver high-quality, accurate, and timely care to their patients.
Look at it this way. You visit a local walk-in clinic where the physician requests a number of tests. Unfortunately, those test results may not always be shared with your family doctor. A month later, you experience similar complications, and your family doctor performs the exact same tests. Wouldn't it have been easier and more efficient if your doctor could have accessed those original results first? In your community, when you visit any point of care, information is collected regarding your health. However, Because these systems don't connect, information cannot be easily shared between healthcare providers. So when a doctor is treating you, there may be pieces of your health information out there that they don't know about. Now consider how important communication is in an urgent situation. Say, for example, you find yourself in an ER and you're unable to properly relay your medical history. Not knowing for certain if you're on any medications or if you have any allergies could hinder the doctor's assessment and even cause problems during treatment. In order to improve healthcare, we're working to create and connect a network of electronic health record systems in your community and across the country, which in the future will allow your health record history to be accessed by every authorized healthcare provider you see. So one day, no matter where you are, you'll know your healthcare provider has access to your health information.
Many hospitals are doing things such as implementing barcoded medication delivery systems and computerized physician order entry programs, among other safety measures. A key component of this effort is the use of computers to better manage healthcare information and records.
An electronic health record is a record that your provider can use when you come to see them that basically keeps track of all your information.
Where it is, what brought it on.
Experts say computerized medical records have the potential to actually improve the quality of care that doctors give their patients.
Notice that the drugs didn't just have a barcode on it. Hospital equipment has a barcode on it. Notice that all records need to be made electronic, so anywhere in the country, by the way, that was an example from Canada, which has had what government-run healthcare for a long time, which we now have, and somebody desperately doesn't want to go away. But notice how we've already been conditioned to what? When you go in the hospital, what do they put on you? It just used to be your name. But now what is it? It's a barcode. So it all ties you into this system, supposedly for convenience and things of that nature. But is it really going to improve the quality, or is it going to control people? Okay? And you wonder where it's headed. Well, we're going to see that here in just a second. But you might be thinking, well, okay, that's Canada. That's unfortunate. No, folks, this is part of the system that people have long forgotten, unfortunately, back with Obamacare, okay? And they say, listen, they want to upgrade it to, wanted to upgrade it to the Biden care, but it says, quote, make no mistake about it, electronic medical records are the way of the future for medical practices of all sizes, and we're talking the United States. Why? Because with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, i.e. Obamacare, and the ruling by this United States Supreme Court, swing vote who? Chief Justice Roberts, health care reform is on its way. Quote, a mandate, that's no option, a mandate requiring electronic medical records for all practitioners took in effect in 2014. Listen to this. And funding for the electronic medical records in Obamacare will cover a span of 10 years. In other words, their goal is to have it done by 2024. That's the next presidential cycle. So why'd you try so hard to get Trump out? Why are you so hung up? Because this is your last ditch effort to make the 2024 date. And if it gets overturned by the Supreme Court, because you need another conservative on there to beat Mr. Conservative and name only Mr. Roberts, you could actually mess up their plans. This was built into the system, but the system was to be all completely done, all medical records by 2024. By the end of that time, quote, all practices will have implemented electronic medical records. So that's the goal. We'll see if they're going to pull it off, but it's there. It's their own words. It's nuts, but you can start to see where it's going. You don't want the government to take over your health care, folks, because the government's looking to AI to take it over and remove the humans. And then you're really in trouble, okay? That's the bigger issue that's going on there. But actually, there's two problems with that. Number one, tying all this medical data and equipment together on a global basis, that's just, think about it, it's too big for humans to handle. You guys got this gigantoid New World Order idea, but how are you going to pull it off? I mean, you can't hire enough people to do what you're pitching to do and already starting to implement to do, to digitize every person, every record, every transaction, every copay, every drug, every procedure, every permission made by the administration, every piece of medical equipment anywhere in the world, and on it goes. No amount of humans could do that, but guess who can? AI, and that's what they're relying on. That's what they're building it with. That's the first problem. The second problem is this. They built into the exact same system, they've got it to be able to individualize the person in this system, starting with what? The barcodes. And we've rolled over and played dead on that one, right? The barcode on your hand, wrist, not far from hand, okay? But what's the problem with that? You could lose it. It could get cut off. It could get smeared, or they can't read it with the scanner. And then what are you going to do? Now you shut out of the system. Well, at the same time, folks, I'm telling you, step-by-step plan they got, is they're now pushing, you know what? We need to ditch those electronic barcodes. You know what we need to do in the medical world? We need to start promoting people to get a microchip implant, because the microchip implant will hold that electronic data. So no matter what hospital you go into, they'll always know if you got allergies or whatever. Oh, and by the way, it will not only track you, but it will also be used as a form of payment to access that medical system. Isn't that wonderful? Now, again, they're already promoting that. They have been for years, okay? And I want to give you a couple examples as we close. Number one, how they want us to get a microchip implant? Well, they work at different medical angles, if you will. And the first one is, you guys, if you got diabetes, they're pitching right now, you need to get a microchip implant. I mean, if you get a microchip implant, oh, your life is going to be awesome. It's going to solve so many problems you have to deal with currently with diabetes. But let's take a look at this.
A Des Moines hospital is paving the way so that diabetes patients experience fewer needle pricks. Doctors say this new procedure is the next chapter for diabetes care.
Inside Mercy One's diabetes care practice, a first-of-its-kind procedure is about to happen. Medical gloves snapped on, surgical tools soaked in saline, and syringe ready to inject lidocaine.
Okay, Mary, you're going to feel a little poke here, okay?
Okay.
Mary Remp from Urbandale is about to feel the future of diabetes care. Dr. Tech Ku is one of three providers trained to implant these Eversense continuous glucose monitoring sensors.
For the longest time, the thought of needing to prick yourself four times a day, squeeze a drop of blood out and put it on a test strip, for patients, especially with type 1 who are required to do that lifelong, I think it's a difficult pill to swallow.
Yeah. All right. If you guys know people, if I got a lot of family members and friends with diabetes, that gets annoying. You got to keep poking your finger, and after a while, it's your hands. Not anymore. Not if you would just get that microchip implant. Problem solved. No more pricking your finger. Life is good. Just get that microchip medical implant and all your medical problems go away. But that's just the first one, folks. The second way, speaking of medical, they want you to get a microchip implant to control your diet, right? We already saw before with the controlling the agriculture and the food supply. And they say, well, oh, the biggest medical problem we got on the planet in America and around the world is obesity. And just these people just, you know, apparently they need to pay somebody to slap that chicken nugget out of their mouth. You know what I'm saying? But they're not doing it. So we need the government to come up with a solution to fix their diet. And believe it or not, folks, think about this. Everybody, diet this, diet that, do this, whatever, keto, schmito, mosquito, we don't know what they are. There's some South Beach, North Beach, Universe Beach, Beach this, Beach that, I don't know what it is. But you know what? You don't have to mess with any of that. If you would just get a microchip implant, it'll actually control the signals in your brain when you should eat and when you shouldn't eat. Watch this.
Because obesity has obviously become a national epidemic. More than a third of U.S. adults are obese. So what if I told you a tiny chip? And I'm talking about something the size of this little needle, the top of this needle. You all see that?
Pinhead. Huh?
That pin, yeah. Tiny. Wow. This could actually have a big effect, possibly on your weight.
Scientists in the United Kingdom are experimenting with a microchip that they think will help people curb their appetite and lose weight. The microchip would be attached to the vagus nerve and send signals to the brain to control a person's hunger level. Would you implant a microchip into your body if it promised to control your appetite?
I mean, this is a great innovation. I mean, it's still minimally invasive. It has to be placed with a scope, but I think it's less invasive, less chances of side effects than the other choices with bypass or banding.
Yeah, because those don't always work, and if they'd only just come up with some other way, and they are. And notice this option isn't just the hand option. This one's what? Back to the head issue, folks. They're promoting it on all different angles. But hey, no more bypasses, banding, no more diets, keto, schmito, mosquito, and that stuff that, you know, remember what beach was that on? I don't know. Hey, you don't have to mess with that anymore. If you would just get this microchip implant, Oh, we'll take care of losing weight, man. I tell you what, no more starving yourself to death. You won't even know if you're hungry. What if somebody didn't want to turn it back on and you literally starved to death? You could use that as leverage. We'll get to that in just a little bit. The third way, another medical issue, big issue, right? Eventually you get married and then you go down that 13th aisle of Walmart. What happens? Kids pop out. It was either that or the cabbage leaf or whatever. I don't know, a stork, whatever you want to pick. No, but it will get your offspring, right? Man, but that's another medical issue. Hey, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. We'll just let the government dictate if you have kids or not. Wouldn't that be fantastic? You think I'm kidding? Watch this. This is nuts.
On the CBS 3 Health Watch tonight, researchers are testing a birth control microchip that they say can be turned off and on with a remote control.
Health reporter Stephanie Stahl is here now to explain how it works.
Wait till you guys see this technology. We're talking about a tiny implanted chip that was first tested as a way to deliver medicine for osteoporosis. Well, now it's being expanded to other uses, and Bill and Melinda Gates were behind the effort to use this technology for birth control.
This microchip may be the future of contraception. Implanted under the skin, it can deliver tiny amounts of hormone, just like a birth control pill. Biotech firm Microchips is testing the chip that can hold enough hormone to prevent pregnancy for up to 16 years. When a woman wants to conceive, the chip is turned off with a remote, and they're making sure it can't be hacked.
Thanks. Watch out for those hackers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, computers never get hacked, TVs never get hacked, phones never get hacked, nothing ever gets hacked. Bill and Melinda Gates? Mr. Population Control himself? We exposed this, folks, in our study, Abortion, the Mass Murder of Children. The reason why Bill Gates is a population control guy, who these elites want to dictate who gets to live and who gets to die, that's how messed up in the head it is. Okay, and who do you think that is? That's from Satan, folks. John chapter 8. Jesus said Satan is not only a liar and the father of all lies, he's a murderer and he's been one from the beginning. Who in the world do you think you are to go out there and purposely murder people because you think there's too many people on the planet? That's not from God, that's from Satan. That's who these people are working for, whether they realize it or not. But Mr. Bill Gates out there with pop... We expose this again, and we'll see this, Lord willing, in a couple studies. And I'll show you the actual clip again. But in our study, Abortion, the Mass Murder of Children... Guess who his dad was the head of? Planned Parenthood. This is where Bill Gates gets his population control. Right now, look at the headlines. Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are being sued by countries around the world because he's also behind vaccines, but the vaccines are killing more people. In fact, some of the vaccines are actually giving people polio and other diseases that'll kill them. And countries are suing them. Why are you going around wanting to dictate the births, and at the same time, your so-called vaccines that are supposed to help are actually killing people? Well, when you do the homework, it all makes sense, okay? But hey, no more birth control pills, no more having to remember if you took them or freak out if you forgot. For those of you into that thing, if you just get this microchip implant and it's wireless, can you imagine if this went around the world? It's nuts. Now, you got one more to go and we'll close. The fourth way, they're tying all this together. This microchip implant, it'll know your insides. It'll know your body chemistry. It'll tell you if something's going wrong or out of whack. It'll control your birth and all this other stuff. But, you know, it's part of the medical system. You don't just get that stuff for free. What do you got? It costs. Wouldn't it be great if the same microchip could be used to make that payment in the medical system? That's exactly, folks, what they are pitching, right? And again, not just the fact that you could lose that armband if you had cash on the account or something. I don't know. But speaking of cash, what's the big thing they're saying we need to get rid of right now? Cash. Why? Because of the medical issue, supposedly, the COVID thing. And we got to get rid of cash. That cash might have germs on it. And you can't have that, right? Or if you do get there and maybe you forgot your card, somebody stole your wallet, and you desperately need this surgery. You got to pay that copay. This is an emergency. All these things are going on this 7 years. I ain't got time. Well, if you just get a microchip implant, you'll never have to worry about that again. This has been out for a long time, folks. This is what's coming if they have their way. Let's take a look at this one.
It's put in a small glass capsule, and it is injected into your body, just like a shot of penicillin, As I mentioned previously, there's a product on it called BioBond that immediately upon injection forms a pseudo scar tissue inside your skin so that the chip doesn't migrate. There's no power source in the chip. It lies dormant underneath your skin for years.
I'm going to read. The scanner reads me. It could be on a portal like any kind of network you wanted it to because it's open architecture.
And then once they have it for the medical application, to communicate their medical records, their medical device information, their insurance information, their personal information in a clinical or emergency situation, they can then use it for the other applications, security, ingress and egress into a facility, financial as a secondary means of authentication, to credit cards to help prevent identity theft.
Okay, now I'm going to stick you a little bit here. I want to make sure you feel nothing. Yep, all done. Okay, can I have that, please? And there's your number that's inside.
There's your what? You heard it. Number. I wonder what number it'll be, John, in the 7-year tribulation. Maybe 666 or something. I don't know. This stuff writes itself. But you see what that could do? Boy, this should just tie the whole thing together. Everything in one just mark or microchip or whatever you want to. Not just store your electronic medical records that they're mandating all over the place and they're hoping to get done by 2024. But at the same time, you could use it to make a medical payment. It could prove your identity. Did you see this thing could give you permission to even get into a medical facility? And not just even the medical world, but it says any form of payment. You know, you could pay not only for your medical stuff, but anything that you would buy or sell. And stuff that they're already promoting. And gee, I wonder where this is headed. Folks, we know exactly where it's headed. If you keep reading in that passage, Revelation 13, it tells us what else the false prophet's going to do. And he's going to implement this system. Revelation 13, 16 through 17. You know, also what? Here's another verb, forced. Not just make, order, cause. Here comes number four. He forced everyone, small and poor, great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So nobody could buy or sell unless he had that mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Put all this together, and I think this is a very plausible scenario, unfortunately, in the 7-year tribulation. If you're not saved, you better get saved now. It's not a game. Number one, the Antichrist uses this AI global controlled medical system to force, order, cause people to do whatever he wants them to do. He's got leverage like you can't even believe. He built into this exact same system that he not only controls the diagnosis, the treatment of diseases or ailments in the medical community, he built in the same system that AI is controlling the administration, so AI will either grant or deny you to even access the system or to be a part of that system. Then he built in the same system a microchip marking device that you have to have with you in order to pay for that system or be granted, again, access to it at all. So again, is this a far-out scenario? You. What's that? You're in the 7-year tribulation and all these calamities are hitting the world on a massive scale? And you need to pay for that medical coverage or gain access into the medical facility and pay for those injuries you received during all these calamities in the 7-year tribulation so you won't die? Just take the mark. What's that? You got diabetes? Is that a whack because all these famines going on? It must be messed up by now. You need your medication? Yeah, we'll release it from your when you take this chip, bow a knee. You'll live if you do what we tell you to. What's that? Speaking of famine, you're shriveling away because your brain won't tell you that you're hungry because I'm controlling your diet now electronically. I'll turn it back on as soon as you worship me. What's that? For some reason, the last couple of years, you've been trying and nothing's working. You just can't seem to have kids anymore. What's up with that? You fool, implants are for kids. I control the birth rate now on the whole planet. Nuts. It's all out there if you put the pieces together. Oh, it'll give birth to something, all right. It'll give birth to what Jesus has been mourning for 2,000 years, the worst time in the history of mankind. You can't even believe what has come on this planet. And that's why, folks, again, Jesus said, when you see these things take place, Christian, it's time to get excited. And it's time to remember he's coming back to get us. We're not appointed unto that time frame, but we need to finish strong and tell as many people as we can, you better flee to Jesus because you don't want to be not even a nanosecond in the 7-year tribulation. This is not a game. But as always, if you're here, if you're watching online, if you're not saved, what more does God have to do to get your attention? And if this scares you, it should. But you don't have to be scared if Jesus Christ is your Savior. Scripture says you turn to Jesus Christ, you can have peace with God right now through Jesus Christ. Turn to Jesus before it's too late. Ask Him to forgive you of all your sins. Believe and trust in His work, His death on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. The Bible says if you confess Him as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved right now. Do it before it's too late. Amen. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the Scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.